Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masachet Zevachim, Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Bet. At the top of the Amud, we're going to first do one piece that finishes up our analysis of Mishnah Aleph. We'll go back to Mishnah Bet and study it and the attendant Gemara. The Mishnah said V'chulan Shekiblu, and that was talking about a case where if the Pasul does Kabbalat Adam and has the wrong Machshava, the Kasher can go back. If there's still Dam HaNefesh left in the animal, it can go back and do Kabbalah, do it properly, and the animal's good to go. In other words, the Machshava, the errant Machshava of the Pasul does not affect the Korban at all. Ba'amina Rish Lakish from Rabbi Yochanan. So Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, and note how many of our disputes and conversations are taking place between these two giants. Pasul Mahushi Aseh Shiraim. If a Pasul does Kabbalat Adam and then does Zrikat Adam, what happens to the rest of the Dam? Is the rest of the Dam considered Shiraim, remainder Dam, which is just like if a Kasher brought it, just the Korban is not valid, and then it's spilled out at the Yisod, or not? Amar Le, Ein Ose Shiraim Ela Chutz Lizmano V'Chutz L'Mekomo. Rabbi Yochanan's answer was the only time that doing Zrikah, which is invalid, will nonetheless make Shiraim, is if you have the machshava of chutz zman or chutz l'mkomo, ho'al u'muratzel l'pigulo. Because we have this concept that we've already seen that the pigul is accepted, as it were, as a pigul, because everything else was done correctly. But if it was done incorrectly, for instance, a pasul did the kabbalah and the zrika, then it is not shirayim. Rav Zvid matni hachi. Rav Zvid had a different version of it. Ba'amin erish lakish rabbi yochanan. The question was, kos pasul ma'ushi ase shirayim. Let's say, not that the person was Pasul, but the Kos was Pasul, like he held it in his left hand, or it had been Yotze, the Kos had gone outside of the Azara with the Dam, and then they had done Zrika. Amarle said, according to this version, he said, Pasul Gufei my Sfir Alach. Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, well, what do you think about if a Pasul does it, which was our first version? And then he answered, and then Rabbi Yochanan answered, I Pasul Mashvi Shirayim, Kos Pasul Nami Mashvi Shirayim, Pasul Lo Mashvi Shirayim, Kos Pasul Nami Lo Mashvi Shirayim. Whatever it is, you're going to do the same thing about a kos pasul. Okay, now Rav Yirmiyah Medifti Matniachi, he had a third version, that it was not Rish Berachon Rish Lakish, and it wasn't this question. Ba'amine Abaya Miraba, Abaya asked his Rebbe, kos ma'ushi aset chavero dachui o shirayim. And here we're not talking about a case where anything wrong happened, but when you have a kos of dam, that is the only one used for zrika, and some of the dam is in another kos, what is that other kos considered? Dachui, and thrown out in the Yama, or Shirayim, and spilled at the Yisod? The Yama was a trench that ran through the Azara, a sewage trench. Amarle, Pluta, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbanan. And Rabbi answered, it's a machloket Tanaim. The Tanya, Lama Lahu Omer, in one place, meaning this is talking about the Chatat of an Asi. It says, Et Damo Yishboch, spill out the blood. Lamata Homer et kol dama yishpoch, spill out all the blood. Is it some of the blood or all the blood? So what was his resolution? Minayin l'chatat shekibel dama b'arba'a kosot, natam matana achat mizeh, matana achat mizeh. How do we know that if you did kabbalat ha-dam of a chatat in four different kosot, and then gave one matana from each kos, shekulan nishpachin le'yisod, that now every kos, the remainder is spilled out to the yisod, because every one of them is shirayim, it was used. Tamalomer kol dama yishpoch. It says, spill all the blood. Yachol natan arba matanot mikos achad. What if, though, you had four kosot, and you did all four matanot from one kos, so yehu kulan nishpachin lisod, I might think the other three are spilled in lisod. Tamalomer et damo. That's why the pasuk says, et damo haketzad, hu nishpach lisod, ve nishpachin lama. The one that was used, the remainder is spilled out the Yisod. The ones that were not used, they're spilled out the Amah, and that's the fulfillment of the Pasuk, et damo yishpoch, meaning some of the dam is spilled at the Yisod, but not all of it. That's Chachamim. So according to that, Chachamim would say that kos oseh chaviro dachui, meaning that if one kos got the dam and did the zrika, the other kosot that got the dam and weren't used for zrika are now considered rejected and spilled out by the Amah. Nothing wrong there, that's just what happened to them. Now, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omeri disagrees. I claim that if you did Kabbalah in four different cups and used only one, they're still all spilled at the Yisod, meaning they're all one group, and they're all considered Shirayim, Tavlomar Kol Dama Yishpoch. There he stands with the Pasuk of Kol Dama. Faktiva Tamo Yishpoch. Ah, we said it Dama Yishpoch. Asher Elim Utishirayim Shibet Savar Behema. Rashi said that what would Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon do with the et Dama Yishpoch, implying that not all of it is spilled out at the Yisod. That's referring to the Shirayim, meaning the Dam that was left in the neck of the Behema and never had proper Kabbalah. And then you squeeze it out afterwards. It's not Dam Anef, it's Dam Tamtzit. That is spilled by the Amah, because that was never really part of the process at all. Okay, now let's take a look back at Mishnah Bet. If you have a Mishnayot, which is always preferable, look at Mishnah Bet. Otherwise, go to the beginning of the Perek and look at the first group of Mishnah. And it goes as follows. Kibela Kasher V'natan LaPasul. Let's say a proper person did Kabbalah and then gave the coast to a Pasul. Yachzir LaKasher. Give it back to the Kasher. In parallel case, Kibel Bimino V'natan Mispalo Yachzir L'mino. If the guy did proper Kabbalah Tadam in his right hand, then put it in his left, put it back in your right. Kibel B'Kli Kodesh V'natan B'Kli Chol Yachzir L'Kli Kodesh. If you spilled it from a Kli Kodesh into a mundane Kli, put it back in a Kli Kodesh. Now, what all three of these things mean is that if the Kabbalah was done properly and then some errant action happened, you can go back to where you were and it does not invalidate the Korban. Nishpach min HaKli al HaRitzpah, this is something we saw earlier. If the Dam, after being in the Kli, was spilled out onto the floor, Vasafo, and then you collected it up back into the Kli, Kasher. Unlike what we saw earlier, that if it goes straight from the neck to the floor, that's finished. Now, etanol gabe akevesh lo kenegad eson tantanin lamata 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 bifnim bachuz bifnim bachuz bifnim. So if you put the dam in the wrong location on the mizbeach or wrong mizbeach, we've already seen this before, miyesh dam nefesh yachzor kasher yikabel. If there is dam nefesh left, then a proper kohen should go back and do kabbalah. Okay, that's the rest of the mishnah. Now we'll go back to lamed dalet amud bet in the middle of the amud. So the first thing the Gemara is going to address is why we needed three different cases of interruption of giving into a pasul, giving a left hand and kli chol. Utsricha, diashmin and pasul. If they only told me pasul, haviyamena my pasul tamei. I would think the pasul referenced here is a tamei. Why dechazi l'avodat zibur? A tamei is not really blocked out of avodah because in the case where majority of the kahal is tameimate, a tameimate can also do avodah in a public korban, like korban to Pesach, famously. Haval smolo, but I would think the minute you put it into a left hand, which is never proper for avodah, that would be the end of the korban. So if the Mishnah only told us about the left hand, after the left hand is used on Yom Kippur, when the kohen uses both hands as part of the avodah to bring the ketoret into the kodesh kodeshim. Haval kli cholo, but a mundane kli is never proper. If the Mishnah only told us that, Kli Chol, Shulachazu Lakarushinu, because at any point you could make it a Kli Kodesh and it would be the ideal piece to use. Havalhana Chemalo, but Pasul and Smol are not proper. So Tzricha, therefore, needed all three cases. Okay, Nevalahavale Dachui, why isn't this Dam now rejected? The minute that it went into Pasul's hand, a left hand, a Kli Chol, why isn't it rejected? We have a quote from Rava. Hamani Chanana Mitzrihu. He says that in our entire Mishnah is really based upon the somewhat iconoclastic teaching of Chanana Mitzri, the late Le Dachui, and he does not hold from Dachui. And the proof text he have, and the next one we're going to deal with also, come take us back to Yom HaKippurim. In Yom HaKippurim, if you recall, we have two goats that are sanctified. And then they're brought, and the lottery is done on them. And one of them goes Lashem, one goes Lazazel, one goes Atzari, Tzermish Daleach. And if one of them, let's say, dies in the middle of the process, the general approach is that we reject both of them and have to bring another pair. However, Detanya, Chanan Mitzri Omer, Afilu Dam Bakos, even if you shechted the Sair Lashem, and you have the Dam in the Kos, and then the Tzermish Daleach died or disappeared, you don't reject now the Sair Bifnim, but rather, maybe Chavirom is Aveglo. You get another guy, and you just bring him as a pair. So in other words, he's not rejected. So that's Chanana Mitzri. And the problem, of course, is this is not an accepted position, and to make this the author of our Mishnah is difficult. He said, no, that's not the issue. Everybody will agree that this is not Dachui. And the reason is because Dachui is only something that's out of your control. Like in the case where the Sa'ir died. That would be Dachui, and our position is that you then have to bring a new pair. However, here, in each one of these cases where you put it into a pasul's hand, or you put it in your left hand, or klichol, you can fix it. You fix it. It's not tachui. I'm Rav Shaya, kavatei Rav Ashi mistabra. So he supports Rav Ashi, whoever this Rav Shaya is, supports Rav Ashi by saying the following. Man shamat leidit leidichuyin, which Tana are we familiar with, who certainly holds from rejection in this way? It's Rabbi Yehuda. None. Back in Yoma, we have the Mishnah that says, V'odam Rabbi Yehuda, Nishpach Adam Yamuta Mishtalech, Maita Mishtalech Yishafech Adam. If, for some reason, the dam of the Seir Lashem gets spilled out in a way that makes it invalid, then the Seir Mishtalech has to die, you need a new pair. Or if the Seir Mishtalech dropped dead, then you have to spill out the dam of the Seir Lashem and get a new pair. That's Rabbi Yehuda, who says that there is Dachui. And nonetheless, and nonetheless he holds that if you're in control of the situation, it's not called Dachui, Titania. This is in the context of the Korban Pesach. Rabbi Huda says that there was one kos that they would fill with blood from all the psachim, and at the end of the, when all the psachim had been brought, they would take one zrikah and throw it keneged hayisod in order to make sure that if anybody had brought the Pesach and because of all the tumult had not had a proper zrikah, this would be a proper zrikah. Which proves that since the dam going in the right place is in your control, therefore the korban is not considered dachui, and this now finishes the job. Shma mina kol shebeado lave dachui. Shma mina. So we see the same Rabbi Yehuda, who in the context of Yom Kippurim says dachui is a real principle. Here in the context of Korban Pesach says it, but as long as you're in control of it, it's a workaround. Now let's look at this halacha of Korban Pesach. Gufa. Tani Rabbi Yehuda omer kol sechad hayam amaleim. Midama tarovet, she'im yishafech achad mehem nimtza shehu machshiro. And that's the brayta. And the reason for it is that if one of them got spilled out, this can fix it. Amru lo Rabbi Yehuda, valolin kabel bikli. So they said back to Rabbi Yehuda, it won't work because this dam was not and never got to a kli. Menayadi, so who says it didn't get to a kli? So they didn't say that. El Hashem aloni kabel b'kli. Maybe it didn't make it a kli. You got dam on the floor. How do you know what happened? Maybe it went straight from the neck to the kli, in which case, for sure, it's not fixable. Amar Lahani said, Afanilo amarti el akshin kabel b'kli. My own position is only when we know that it got into a kli. V'hu gufa manayada. So how does he know that it did get into the kli? The answer is Kohanim's reason. V'avdin chaya mishtafchin. The Kohanim's reason. They're careful to make sure a proper kabbalah is done. We can rely on them. Problem is, Avdin Haya, it's done all so quickly that it might get spilled while it's getting passed, meaning it got into the kli. If you recall the Korban Pesach, there's sort of a bucket brigade of passing the kli up and down from Kohen to Kohen. At that point, Bamei got spilled out, which means it made it to the kli, but not to the Mizbeach. And so there's where he says, because it's in your control, it's not Tachui. Ay, valo dam hatamtzit murabbo. But think about this. On the floor of the Azara, there's also dam hatamtzit. Dam HaTamtzit is that blood that's squeezed out after the Dam HaNefesh comes out, and it is not valid for the Mizbeach, and therefore that would foul the whole Matana that you're going to do at the end. The answer is, Rabbi Yehuda Tatame, Damar Dam HaTamtzit Kari Dam. Rabbi Yehuda happens to be of the opinion that Dam HaTamtzit is called full Dam. Titanya, we have the following Braita. Dam HaTamtzit Ba'azhara, Chachamim's position is, that you are only warned against eating dam hatamtzit, but you're not chayav karet for eating because it's not really dam hanefesh. If you don't remember karet, or Yehuda disagrees, it's full dam, you get karet for it. But that doesn't work because v'amar Rabbi Elazar with Rabbi Yehuda l'inyan kapara she'eno mechaper. That even Rabbi Yehuda, who says you get karet for eating, and this, by the way, is a little inconsistent because we generally assume that you're chayav karet for eating dam because dam is dam hanefesh, and it's the kapara, it goes to the Mizbeach, but Rabbi Yehuda splits and says, yes, you get karet for it, but l'inyan kapara she'eno mechaper. Rabbi Yehuda does agree that you don't get kapara for putting dam hatamtzit on the mizbeach. She ne'amar ki adam hu banefesh yichaber. Dam shanefesh yotza bo karei dam. Only the blood, when it goes out, that's the end of the life, that's called dam for the mizbeach. She ne'nefesh yotza bo ain karei dam. If not, not. So therefore, we can't say that dam hatamtzit that's on the floor is going to work for putting it on the mizbeach. But there's a different answer. Rabbi Yehuda tameh damar ein dam avatal dam. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that one dam cannot nullify another. Which means that if you have every Korban Pesach that got messed up has a drop of its Dam HaNefesh in this cup that's going to get thrown on the Yisod, then the fact that there's Dama Tamsit in there will not nullify it. Now, Amar Lahem Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda then, by the way, answered the Chachamim and said, to support his position of why they throw the Dam, he said, Lama Pokin Azara, L'divrechem Lama Pokin Azara. We know that there's a halacha that they plug up the sewage drain ditches, the sewage drains in the Azara when doing the Korban Pesach. And Rabbi Yehuda says, that supports my point here, is you don't want the Dam to go out the sewage drain. You want it to all be there so you can collect it and then fix it. So, but according to you, that it can't be fixed, why would you do that? Amrulo, Shevachu Livnei Aron Shiachu Adar Kuvotein Badam. It's beautiful and it's praiseworthy that the Kohanim should be walking around in blood up to their knees of all these korbanot. V'hadam havi chatzitza. Now, a side issue is, but then it's a chatzitza between their feet and the floor. So the answer is lachu, lavi chatzitza. It's moist. It's liquid. Liquid is not a chatzitza. Dinam, adam, avadyo, advash, v'chalav, all these liquids. Yiveshin chotzin, if they're dried out, then they are chatzitza. Lachin in chotzin, if they're wet, they're not. Ay, v'hakam idvasi manayu. But now the begadim, the big dekun, are going to get all stained. Utnana, yubgadam etushtashin v'yavara v'ratop sula. The Mishnah says that if the Kohen's clothes were all stained, his avodah is pasul. The answer is v'chitema demidlu. Do you think that he maybe is going to lift up his pants so they don't get wet? V'atanya mido, in describing the bitei kuna, it has to be his measure, kemidato, to lechsar v'shalo yotir, which means you can't make it lower or higher. We had that earlier with using the belt to lift it up. The answer is bolachat evrim lakevish, lav avodahi. So when does the Kohen lift up allow the dam to get onto his clothes? Only when he's bringing the Evarim up to the ramp, which is not an avodah. V'lo v'atanya v'kriv v'kohen etakol zu'alachat evrim lakevesh at the beginning of Sefer Yikra. We've seen this drush already 4 or 5 times. That's referring to bringing the Evarim up, and that's part of the avodah. El v'alachat etzim l'maracha. It's only when he brings the wood to go onto the fire. T'lav avodahi. So how do they walk around when they're doing the avodah if there's all this blood there? The answer is as the aitz to be. They would have little stands that would be higher than the floor of the azara, and they would walk from place to place on those stands, and then they would stand wherever they had to do the avodah, and that was valid. But the point was that Rabbi Yehuda said the fact that they would plug up the azara was in order to keep the dam there because they had to use it for this fix. And Chacham's position was, that's not why they did it. They did it rather in order to have this aesthetic. Okay, the next Mishnah. Hashochet et hazavach l'chol davar she'indar kol l'chol l'aktir davar she'indar kol l'aktir kasher. So if you do shchita and you intend to chutz zmano chutz mekamo about eating something that's not edible, like eating the fats or burning the meat, in other words, things that are not normally burnt, kasher. Rabbi Eliezer, meaning that doesn't affect it, because you have to have intent for something which is edible to eat, or something to burn something which is burnable at the wrong time. Rabbi Eliezer posel. Rabbi Eliezer will not call it a pigo, but he says it is pasul. Now, lachol davar shtakol lachol aktir davar shtakol aktir pachot mikazayit. If your intent is to eat or burn the right thing, but less than kazayit, kasher. Everybody agrees, kasher. Lachol kachatzizad laktir kachatzizad kasher shana achila vaktar mitztafin. This is, of course, also the Mishnah at the end of the second parak. Burning half kazayit and eating half a kazayit are not mitzareif. Hashochet et hazavach l'chol kazayit min ha'or, min ha'rota, min ha'kipa, min ha'halal, min ha'tzamot, min ha'gidin, min ha'karnay, min ha'tlafayim. If you shecht a korban to eat any of these things which are not edible, like the skin, the gravy, also things which are not really part of the korban, like the kipa, which is the spices that are left at the bottom of the bowl when you cook it, and of different bones, etc., then the horns and the feet and a improper time or place, kasher. It doesn't affect it, because even though these things are not easily burned on the mizbeach, it's not called achila. Ve'ein chayvin alayim mishum pigol notar v'tame. None of these things can be affected by pigol or by notar. So if you ate them after the time, you're not chayv for notar. Or for tame, if they became tame and you ate them. That's not called eating kodesh. You being tameh eating kodesh, or eating tameh which is kodesh, kodesh with tameh. Hashochet amukdashin lachol shalil o shalya b'chutz. Let's say you shechted an animal in order to eat its placenta or its fetus in the wrong place. Lo pigel. Hamoleket atorin lachol beitzeyan b'chutz. Lo pigel. Or if you did malika, which we're going to get to later, actually more minachot, on the birds in order to eat their eggs, bachutz lo pigel. So in other words, byproducts of the animal are not in the group, even though they're edible. Chalev ha-mukdashin, the milk of mukdashin, or beitzei torin, ein chalev ha-shum pigol lo tovatame. They are not affected by pigol lo tovatame. They are not essential to the animal. They are byproducts. Okay, Amar Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Elazar makes a statement here, which will carry us through to the next piece, which is highly controversial. He says, pigol b'zevach pagel ha-shalil. If you did pigol on the korban, then the fetus is now considered part of it. Meaning that you violate, and by eating the fetus, you violate eating pigul. V'shalil on pagel azavach. But if you have intent about the shalil, it doesn't affect the korban. Pigel ba'alal and pagla mora'ah. If you had intent about the alal, which is a tendon in the neck, which is edible, then the esophagus is also included. But mora'ah on pagel alal. But if you had intent about the esophagus, it doesn't affect the alal or anything else. Pigel ba'imurin and paglu parim. This now is talking about parim ani sarfim. Now the parim ani sarfim that are the dam is brought inside and the body is burnt outside of the city have emurin. So if you had intent about the emurin to burn them at a later time, that's of course pigul, and therefore the parim themselves that are burnt outside of the city are now pigul. Parim non paglu emurin, but if you had intent about the parim, because that's not a haktara, that's nothing, and the emurin are not affected. Now, let's see if we have support for Rabbi Elazar. Who disagree about whether there's pigul on something goes on his be'ach ha'pnimi. Rabbi Shimon says there is none. But Rabbi Chachamim agree with him that if you have intent about eating the parim or burning the parim, lo asav lo klum. That's nothing. That's not called chila. That's not called haktara. So namai lavach shebe emurim paglu parim, isn't it that they both agree that if you had any intent about the emurim, it would affect the parim, and the only piece that they picked was if you had intent about the parim, it would not affect anything. So lo, that's not the proper inference. Hachi shebe emurim paglu emurim atzman. All it means is if you had intent about the emurim of the parim ani sarfim, then the emurim themselves are affected, but that's it. So we don't have support for a belazer. Toshma, try this. Parim ani sarfim and esurim ani sarfim, these chataot, mo'alin ban mishu uktushu. Me'ila applies to them from the point that hekdesh happens. Means if you benefit from them, you chayv me'ila. Nishchatu, once shchita happens, huksharu li pasel b'tful yom chusak kippurim v'lina. Once you do shchita, now they could become pasul if a tful yom touched them, chusak kippurim touched them, or if now they stayed overnight. Now, my lovely, not basar, aren't we talking about the basar staying overnight, that goes outside. Ushmamina, migo to pasla belina. So therefore, just like the basar would become pasul if it stayed overnight, pasla b'machshava. Therefore, if you had intent to burn it tomorrow, that would become pigol. So lo, lina temurim. Lina here is not talking about the basar. Leave it outside for 2-3 days and burn it. It's not our problem. We're talking about the emurim that happened inside the azarat on the mizbeach. Now, wait a second. Hamenik tani seifa, and the seifa of that brayta we said, Kulan mo'alin bana al beit hadesh on shutach basar. Me'ila applies outside on the burning place until the basar is all melted. V'chal d'resha lina basar. So lina seems to be in this brayta all talking about the basar outside. So midir Yehu said, hakidita v'hakidita. Resha imurim, the first one is about imurim, and the second one is about basar. And they're not necessarily the same. Now motiv rabba, rabba now challenges Rabbi Elazar. Now we try to bring two proofs for Rabbi Elazar. Each one crumbled. Now rabba's going to challenge him. Ve'elu she'en refaglin ve'en mitpaglin, the following can neither be flashpoints of pigul or objects of pigul. Semer shebarashei kvasim, se'ar shebezakan etayashim, the different hairs and wools of animals, v'aror otev akipah v'alav v'amura'ah v'atzamot v'akidin v'akonayim v'atlafayim, shil v'shalyah, all the things in our Mishnah, plus the mura'ah, the esophagus, chalei mukdashinu v'etzei torin, the milk and the eggs, lo mefaglin v'lo mitpaglin, they can't be either flashpoints, meaning intending to eat them at the wrong time will not affect the korban. Velomit paglin, they can't become pigol if the korban did, meaning they're still removed from it. Vein chayrino emishim pigol no tovatomi. They're out of the picture. Valeme and bachutz, if you were to bring one of them bachutz, patur, you're not chayav for bringing anything bachutz. Now, my love, lom faglin azavach, lom paglin machmat zavach, lom faglin, velomit paglin means what we think it means, which is they can't affect the zavach, and they can't become pigol if the zavach was. So no, lomafaglin et hazavach, lomafaglin machmar atzman. What it means is they can't affect the zavach, and they themselves can't become pigul if you had intent about them. It's a little bit difficult because that means both statements are about having intent about them. So yachi anitani seifa kulan lomafaglin v'lomafaglin hatulamali. So then, why did it say kulan lomafaglin v'lomipaglin when you already said that once? Elushen faglin v'en paglin. And at the end of the list, lomafaglin v'lomipaglin. Why add that? V'litamech. But by the way, if you think that the bright is a little wordy, ein chayvin olam mishum pigul atulamali. Why did you add in ein chayvin olam mishum pigul notavatami? Hello, I didn't bother meaning notavatami tana pigul. The answer is we mentioned pigul because it's part of the list. Even though we already said there's no pigul. Since we notavatami and pigul are a list, we said they don't pigul notavatami doesn't apply to them. Hachanami I didn't bother meaning amalim menachutz. And so the reason that they said that lomakam faglin v'lom paglin is because we also say malan b'chutz patur. In other words, there's these lists that the Tanoim would apply in certain places, and once it's there, they would read the whole list and not cut it off to edit it for the information that came before. So it's not really wordy. All right, so therefore, it could be lomakam faglin v'lom paglin is the way we interpret it. They're not mfagel themselves. So the challenge of Rav Elazar also didn't stand. Rava Amar Af Anan Amitanin, we have support. Ashochet Amukdashim Lachol Shalol Shalya B'chutz Lo Pigel. V'tatorim Lachol Be'etzeim B'chutz Lo Pigel. Paratani Chalim Mukdashim Be'etzei Torim Ein Chayav Alem Mishum Pigel No Tavetame. Alright, so now in our Mishnah we said that intending to eat the placenta doesn't make a pigel. At the wrong time doesn't make a pigel. And to eat the eggs doesn't make a pigel. And then later it said that the milk and the eggs, there's no pigul no tevatame, but it left out hashel v'shuliyah chayavim. But it didn't go back and say that the placenta doesn't have pigul. So actually, this is good support for a belazer, and we end up with this, which is, the implication is that the shalil and shuliyah cannot be a focal point. If you intend to eat them late, it doesn't make pigul. But if you had pigul on the animal, the shalil and shuliyah are now included, unlike the absolute byproducts, which are milk and eggs, which are not included at all. Okay, it's not at time. We have the following machloket later on in our Mishnah, in our Masachet, about im alu lo yerdu. Which animals is it that if they go on the Mizbeach, they shouldn't have gone on the Mizbeach, but if they did, they should not go down. And one of them is Bali Mumin. That should go down. They do have to go down. Rabbi Kiva makshir Bali Mumin. Rabbi Kiva says, no, if the Bali Mumin goes up, you leave it up. Rabbi Kiva ela bedukin sheba ayin. Rabbi Kiva only permitted if it was a fine mum, the kind that if it was a bird, it wouldn't affect it. Birds are only affected by missing limbs, but the fine mumim, like messed up eyes or something, that's only in a behemah, and in that case, Rabbi Kiva would say it stays on his be'ah. V'hu shekadah mekdeshat mumah. And that's only if it was first kodesh and then became a bal mum. So then, umoda Rabbi Akiva bolat nekeva. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva will agree that an olah, which must be a zachar, if it was in the keva, it has to come down. Why? The command the kadam umah like the shadami, because the mum came first, because it was born in the keva, and had the mum came first. So Meitiv Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera challenges this, and he's trying to prove that an olat nekeva would stay up. Hamalem mehan bachutz patur. If you were to bring up the eggs or the milk, bachutz your patur. Ha-me'iman chayav. Remember, eggs or milk are only going to come from females. So therefore, if you were to bring from the mother, then, meaning if you put the mother up, you'd be chayav. And ha-maleh, we assume here, is an olah. Ve'echenish kachat la, b'olah nekevah. It has to be a nekevah. So, yemar b'ishtamak sev Rabbi Kiva, olah nekevah, gimel talo tered. If you would agree that Rabbi Kiva would say, an olah, which is a nekevah, if it went up, it doesn't come down. So, ha-mani Rabbi Kiva, then the author of our mission that says Amalami and Bachutz Patur, implying that if it was the mother you'd be Chayav, would be Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva says that if you had Olat Nekiva up there, it would stay there, therefore it's at least fit enough for the Mizbeach that Amalai Bachutz would be Chayav. They might Imalta Tered Hamani, but if even Rabbi Akiva would say it comes down, that would mean everybody would agree that an Olat Nekiva can't be up there, which means an Olat Nekiva, you can't be Chayav Bachutz. So therefore, what about our diuk that if you bring the milk, you're patur, implying that the mother you're chayav for? Hamani, eima amal, so hamani, so the answer is eima amalem an bachutz patur, hame imure iman chayav. So you're making the wrong inference. If you bring it up bachutz, you're patur, but if you bring the emurim of its mother, then you're chayav. The hamehen tani. Meaning that I'm emurim, meaning that if you're talking not about an olah but ashlamim, that's emurim, all right, or another animal, another korban. So v'hamehen k'tani v'iman dum yedidhu, but it says mehen, so the implication has to be something parallel. Them, the mother. So the ala ema. So now read the Mishnah differently. Amala me'emurim b'chutz patur. If you're to bring of their emurim, like of the shilya patur, hame'emurayiman chayav. So if you were to bring the imurim of the mother, then you'd be chayav. And that now is not talking about an olah, but rather about a shlamim, which we would agree certainly could be a nekeva, and it doesn't touch the issue of Rabbi Akiva's machloket with the chachamim and how we delimit Rabbi Akiva. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up in the next Mishnah, Daf Lamed Hey Amud Bet, and that will be our final podcast for the third parak. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.